Hello and welcome to the Word from My Hermitage. My name is Father Clint Hahnkamp, and I come to you today from my hermitage in the Dominican Priory of St. Pius V here in Chicago, Illinois. Today is the Feast of the Transfiguration of the Lord, August 6th, 2026. And our passage today comes from the Gospel of St. Matthew, where he writes, "Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him." There are moments in life, of course, when everything changes, not because our circumstances change, but because we are allowed to see more deeply. A husband sits beside the hospital bed of his wife. For months he has watched her body weaken from illness. The woman who once laughed easily now struggles to lift her head. One evening, as the sun sets through the hospital window, he notices her eyes, smiles with extraordinary peace, and whispers, "I am not afraid anymore. I know he is here." Nothing about the room has changed. The machines continue to hum. The diagnosis remains the same. Yet for one brief moment, the husband sees something beyond sickness. He sees a beauty that cannot be explained. It is as though heaven has become transparent. Years later, he would say, "For a moment, I saw who she really was." Those moments are gifts. They cannot be manufactured. They arrive unexpectedly and leave us forever changed. That is what happens on the mountain of the Transfiguration. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John away from the noise of the crowds. He leads them upward. Scripture often speaks of mountains as places where heaven and earth meet. Moses encountered God on a mountain. Elijah heard the still small voice on a mountain. Now Jesus brings his closest friends to another mountain, not to teach them new information, but to change the way they see. Suddenly his face shines like the sun, his clothes become dazzling white. Moses and Elijah appear beside him. The disciples are not seeing Jesus become something he was not before. They are seeing who he has always been. For a brief moment, the veil is lifted. The humanity they have walked beside every day becomes transparent to his divinity. Peter is overwhelmed. "Lord, it is good that we are here." "Of course it is. Who would want to leave such beauty? Who would willingly descend from such glory?" Peter wants to build three tents, as though one could preserve a mystical experience, capture God in a sacred moment, or remain forever on the mountaintop. Yet faith does not allow us to stay there. The cloud overshadows them. The Father's voice speaks, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Notice that the Father does not say, "Understand him." He says, "Listen." I think contemplative spirituality begins precisely there. We often think prayer is about speaking to God. The saints gently remind us that prayer matures when we learn to listen, not simply with our ears, with our whole being. Disciples fall to the ground in fear. Whenever human beings truly encounter God's holiness in Scripture, they discover two things immediately and simultaneously: God's unimaginable greatness and their own smallness. Yet Jesus immediately comes towards them. He touches them. "Rise and do not be afraid." The touch is just as important as the vision, because mystical experiences are never meant to leave us frightened, to make us fearless. Many people spend their lives waiting for extraordinary spiritual experiences. Some chase conferences, others seek visions. Some hope for dramatic signs from heaven. Yet the deepest transformation usually happens, which much more quietly. Carmelite mystic St. John of the Cross warned against becoming attached to extraordinary experiences. God may give them, but they are not the goal. The goal is union with God. Sometimes God reveals His glory. More often, He reveals Himself through hiddenness, silence, ordinary fidelity, love. The Transfiguration prepares the disciples for the cross. Without this mountain, Good Friday would destroy their faith. Jesus allows them to glimpse Easter before Calvary. How merciful God is! He often gives us enough light to survive the darkness that lies ahead. Some of us can remember moments when God felt astonishingly close. Perhaps it happened during Eucharistic adoration. Perhaps while holding a newborn child. Perhaps standing beside someone who was dying. Perhaps while walking quietly beneath a sky filled with stars. Perhaps even during Mass, when one sentence pierced the heart. These moments cannot be forced. Gifts. But they are also provisions. When prayer later feels dry, when suffering becomes heavy, when doubt whispers, seems silent, the memory of those encounters becomes a lamp for the journey. There is another hidden mystery in today's gospel. The Transfiguration does not change Jesus. It changes the disciples. The light was always there. Their eyes are now opened. That is the journey of contemplation. We often ask God to become more present. The deeper prayer is that our eyes become more awake. The whole world is shimmering with God's presence. Every human person bears His image. Every act of mercy reflects His light. Every Eucharist is a transfiguration hidden beneath the appearances of bread and wine. The saints gradually learn to see this differently. They discover that holiness is not escaping the world, but perceiving God's radiance within it. This feast of the Transfiguration also asks us a difficult question. What mountains are we climbing? Much of modern life trains us to climb mountains of achievement, reputation, productivity, influence, comfort, or control. Jesus invites us to another mountain altogether, the mountain of silence, the mountain of prayer, the mountain where nothing spectacular may happen outwardly, yet the heart becomes capable of seeing Christ everywhere. Notice now how the gospel ends. The vision disappears. Moses is gone. Elijah is gone. The dazzling light fades. And Jesus was found alone. That sentence is enough. Because ultimately, our faith is not about spiritual experiences. It is about remaining with Jesus. When the consolations come, Jesus. When they disappear, Jesus. When the life is joyful, Jesus. When life breaks our hearts, Jesus. Everything else comes and goes, but Jesus remains. Feast of the Transfiguration asks each of us, where have you forgotten the glory hidden within ordinary life? Whose face have you stopped seeing as beloved? When was the last time you allowed silence to reveal Christ instead of rushing past him? Perhaps today Jesus is inviting you up the mountain, not to escape your responsibilities, but to recover your vision. For when we truly behold Christ, even briefly, we never descend the mountain quite the same. The world remains the same, but our eyes have changed. And when our eyes change, everything changes. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you revealed your glory on the holy mountain so that your disciples would have courage to follow you to the cross. Open our eyes to recognize your presence hidden within the ordinary moments of our lives. Teach us to seek not extraordinary experiences, but deeper communion with you. Lead us into the silence where your voice can be heard. Darkness comes, remind us of the light you have already shown us. When fear overwhelms us, teach us, as you touched your disciples, and say again, rise and do not be afraid. May every Eucharist become our mountain of encounter. May every neighbor reveal something of your face. May our lives gradually reflect the light of your love until the day we behold you face to face in the fullness of your glory. If you found a blessing in this reflection today, I invite you to return here to my hermitage each and every day, when we break open the Word of God and apply its deeper meaning to our spiritual journeys. God bless you today, and keep you safe.